Good morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we continue looking at the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew 5 through 7. This morning we are in Matthew chapter 6. It's such a beautiful morning. I'm thankful that God has blessed us with another opportunity to be with those of the light, precious faith, to be able to pray with one another, to be able to sing spiritual songs, and now to be able to open the Word of God. I'm thankful for the opportunity to help lead you in this study of God's Word together. This morning we're going to talk about a wonderful subject. We're going to be talking about the privilege of prayer and what a privilege it is to be able to approach the throne of God and to be able to pray to our God, to pour out our heart, to be able to cast our cares and concerns upon Him because He cares for us, according to 1 Peter 5, verse number 7. Solomon said long ago in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 8, "The prayer of the upright is His delight." God delights when we approach Him in prayer. You know, when we pray to God, when we come before His throne, we're not wasting God's time. God welcomes us. He has time for us. His ears are open unto our prayers. Solomon also said in Proverbs 15, verse number 29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but His ears are open unto our prayers." I love to meditate upon some of the passages that we find in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms. I love to study the prayers that we see men praying to God in the Old Testament, the prayer of Nehemiah or the prayer of David. Those prayers really encourage us to come before the throne of God and to pray to God, because it's a wonderful blessing, a privilege that we have being the children of God. But I'll be honest, it can be hard to fully comprehend how prayer functions within the plan of God's sovereignty. It can be somewhat of a challenge, but it does. Prayer boils down to putting your faith in God that He hears us. As the Apostle Peter would say in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." You see, prayer has the power to move an impotent God. Prayer can be powerful, according to James 5, verse number 16. "The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Well, this morning, as we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to see that Jesus has a few words to say about prayer. But as we look at our Lord's teaching, His words concerning prayer here in Matthew chapter 6, you have to remember the background and what Jesus is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount. He is really tearing down the external religion of the Pharisees and the scribes. And this is such a sobering thought as it relates to our giving or as it relates to prayer. Because as you think about the Pharisees and the scribes, we see that they were religious. They were very religious. We see that they were sacrificial. We notice that from chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. But this morning, as we look at this next section here, beginning at verse number 5, we see that they were also prayerful. But Jesus comes along and He essentially says that their religion was fake. Their giving was hypocritical. Their prayer life was hypocritical. I don't know about you, but when I stop and think about what Jesus says here on the Sermon on the Mount, it causes me to think about my giving. It causes me to think about my religion. It causes me to think about my prayer life because I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a spiritual phony. I want my giving, I want my prayer to be real. As we see in Revelation chapter 8, I want my prayers to come up as a sweet aroma before God Almighty. But friends, that's not going to happen by accident. And so here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse number 5, Jesus is going to give us some principles that can help us develop an effective prayer life. And as you think about the Pharisees and the scribes, we see from this text that there were certain things that crept into their prayer life, and if we're not careful, they can creep in to ours. Let's begin looking at this text together, beginning at verse number 5. And as we look at verse number 5, I want you to think about this point. From verse number 5, we see that their prayers became ritualized, formulized. Look at verse number 5 with me. Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, the Pharisees and the scribes are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." The Jews had all of these formalized prayers that they would utter up to God. If you were a Jew, every morning and every evening, you would pray the Shema of Israel. And the Shema of Israel is actually recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Shema simply means, "Hear, O Israel." But they would quote the Shema of Israel. They would utter this up before God every morning, every noon, every afternoon. And then they would pray Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21 and Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. Another formalized prayer that they would utter up before God was known as the Shamunei Ezrei, which literally means in Hebrew 18. And there were 18 prayers that the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes would utter up before God. And all of this is recorded in their tradition. For example, prayer number 12 may go along like this: "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be showed upon the upright, the humble, the elders of thy people Israel, and the rest of its teachers. Be favorable to the pious strangers among us and to us all. Give thou a good reward to those who sincerely trust in thy name." Prayer number 5 would go like this: "Bring us back to thy law, O Father. Bring us back, O King, to thy service. Bring us back to thy true repentance." And so as you think about what Jesus is saying about their prayer life, their prayers became formulized, therefore they became meaningless. I want you to go back to verse number 5 and listen to what Jesus says in verse 5. "For they loved to pray." Now at the first glance, that sounds wonderful. They love to pray. But notice they were praying for the wrong reason there in verse number 5, standing in the synagogues and in the corners. You see, this provided an opportunity for them to show people how religious they were, how holy they were. And so they would pray all of these formalized prayers, Jesus says, to be seen of men. I want you to take special note to what Jesus says here: in the corners of the streets. You remember earlier in chapter 6, Jesus talked about their almsgiving, their charitable deeds in verse number 2. Don't give as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. the word streets in verse number 2 speaks of the narrow streets. The narrow streets. But here in verse number 5, Jesus uses a different word for streets, and it speaks of the wide intersections. Because there would be more people congregated at the wide intersections, and this provided the Pharisees and the scribes, again, an opportunity to be actors. To put on a show, again, to be seen of men. That's the emphasis. And that's why Jesus is rebuking them here. Their motive wasn't right. They were praying for the wrong reasons. They weren't praying to be heard of God. They were praying to be heard of men, to be seen of men. Because they wanted people, again, to see just how religious they were. And so their ritual approach to prayer replaced the reality of a poured out heart. Now the application, I believe, is pretty straightforward. If we're not careful, our prayers can become formulized. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes. And don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong praying at set times like they did. In Psalm 55, verse number 17, David says, "In the evening, morning, and noon will I pray." We might take time to pray before every meal. Maybe before we go to bed, or maybe before we get in the car. We may take time to pray to God. And listen, there is nothing wrong with that. As long as those prayers don't just become formulized. Something that we do just for the sake of doing it, because it becomes this routine. We can pray during set times, but when we pray to God, our hearts, our minds need to be clear, and they need to be focused upon God. We truly need to cry out to God. As David would say in Psalm 3, verse number 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my whole heart, and He heard me." I think I looked it up one time. He heard me. I think it's found over 10 times just in the book of Psalms, that phrase, "He heard me." That's why, again, David would pour out his heart to God in prayer, because he knew that God would hear him. And He will hear us today if we will truly pour out our heart to God to pray for the right reason. And we'll have more to say about that. But in Psalm 5, verse number 3, another great verse on prayer, David says, "In the morning, O Lord, You will hear my voice. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto Thee." As I said, David prayed during set times, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, as long as our prayers are genuine. Jesus continues on. Here, looking at this text, He talks about in verse 6, praying in secret. We'll come back to verse 6, but drop down to verse number 7. And here in verse number 7, you see another problem with their prayer life. Verse number 7, "But when you pray," listen to it, "use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking." In essence, Jesus says, don't pray like the pagan world. And the pagan world would mumble mindless, meaningless terms. A great example of this in Scripture is found in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, you remember Paul had gone into the city at Ephesus, and there was a great roar. And we read about Demetrius, the silversmith. He becomes upset with the Apostle Paul because of who Paul was preaching. And Demetrius causes an uproar. And remember, he talks about the goddess Diana being attacked. Well, think about that phrase, "Great Diana." The pagans would cry out, "Great Diana! Great Diana! Great Diana!" They would do this over and over and over again. It became repetitious. Some scholars believe that the pagans would sometimes cry out to their gods for over 2 hours using these various repetitions. Great Diana. And so again, Jesus says, don't pray like the pagans. In Mark chapter 12, verse number 4, Jesus adds another point. Don't pray long prayers. In fact, he says in Mark 12, verse 40, for pretense you make long prayers. Now, I want you to think about something. Jesus isn't saying that we should never pray or have long prayers. That's not what Jesus is saying. When you go back and you look at what Jesus is saying, the Pharisees and the scribes, again, they would have these long prayers to be seen of men. In fact, the efficacy of a prayer a lot of times was measured by their fluency and the length of prayer. Some rabbis taught if a prayer was long, they would be heard by God. As I said, Jesus wasn't condemning long prayers. Luke chapter 6, verse number 12, Jesus spent all night in prayer. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't be repetitious in our prayers. In Matthew 26, verse 41, we see in the garden Jesus prayed three times, "Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Jesus prayed three times that thorn in the flesh would be removed from God. And so Jesus isn't saying that we can't be repetitious. In fact, He wants us to be persistent in our prayers. But I believe that the whole key to really understanding the point that Jesus is making is in verse number 6. Listen to what Jesus says. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet." The word closet in the original language, it carries the idea you go to the most private place. I like that. You go to the most private place, opposite of what the Pharisees and the scribes would do. "And when thou hast shut the door, you pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." As you look at verse number 6, Jesus isn't saying that we can't pray publicly. We did that this morning. Jesus did that. The apostles did that. The first century church did that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have instructions regarding public prayer. But Jesus was dealing with a heart problem with the Pharisees and the scribes. They had all of these different prayers, these formalized prayers, these long prayers, these repetitious prayers, all to be seen of men. Jesus in verse number 6 teaches them what to do. You go into a secret place, and I believe Jesus is putting the emphasis on the heart. You go to a place where you can cry out to God. You can pour out your heart to God. He's talking about the attitude that we should have when we pray. And I think in a roundabout way, even when we pray in public, the principle is still there. Again, we want our words, we want our thoughts, we want our petitions to come from the secret place, the heart of an individual. We don't want to just say things for the sake of saying things, to put a prayer together. When we pray for the sick, when we mention people by name, when we mention the Lord's work, we really need to mean it. It needs to come from the heart. And Jesus is going to elaborate on prayer beginning at verse number 8. And what He does beginning at verse number 8 is He lays out some principles that can help us be effective in our prayer life. to pray in a way that pleases God, we're noticing how they displease God in their prayer life. And we don't want to displease God in our prayer life. We want to be pleasing to God. As I said from Revelation 8, we want our prayers to come up to God as a sweet aroma. And they will if we learn to pray according to God's will. 1 John 5, verse number 14. And so begin looking at these principles here in verse number 8. Notice these points of consideration beginning at verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, the Pharisees and the scribes. Don't pray like them. Their prayers are meaningless. Their religion is vain. They are actors. They're putting on a show. They're hypocrites. Don't act like them. If you're going to be a citizen of my kingdom, this is how you are to pray. And what Jesus does here, beginning at verse number 8, is He lays out principles. Don't be like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Notice this, number 1, our Father which art in heaven. Jesus says when you pray, number 1, recognize who you are approaching. Don't ever forget that. Remember who you are approaching. Our Father which art in heaven. Go, if you would, to the book of Amos. Notice with me Amos chapter 4. We're going to notice a couple of passages that will help us with the points that we're making. But notice with me Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, verse number 13. Amos chapter 4, verse number 13. I love the point that Amos is making here in chapter 4 as he is preparing the people, chapter 4, verse 12, to meet God, to prepare for the judgment of God. They overlooked God. They ignored God. They ignored His Word. They were going through the motions, kind of like the Pharisees and the scribes. God had withdrawn Himself, spiritually speaking, from His people. And to try to get the people to come to their spiritual senses, to recognize who they were forsaking. Listen to what the prophet says in Amos chapter 4, verse number 13. For lo, He, that He is speaking of God. For lo, He, God, listen to what Amos says, that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, and maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord God of hosts is His name. Do you see what the prophet is pointing to there in verse number 13? That formeth the mountains, His omnipotence, and declareth unto man what man is thinking, God's omniscience. And He walks upon the high places, His omnipresence. You see, the tallest of mountains have only been visited by a few, but here is a picture of God walking upon the mountains, His omnipresence. Remember who you are approaching. You are approaching a mighty, all-knowing, powerful God. And that, my friends, can change the way that you pray to God. By recognizing, by remembering who God is. The One who spoke this universe into existence. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7, God says, I don't see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God says, I look at the heart. I'm looking at the heart. Remember who you're approaching. Our Father which art in heaven. Number 2, notice the second principle there in verse number 9. Hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed, a special term that describes God's name. A name that is above all other names. The prophet Hosea, in Hosea 11 verse 9, says this about God. God isn't like man. He is God and He is holy. Remember that when you pray to God. Hallowed be thy name. We're not just approaching any person. We're approaching a holy, holy, holy God. Hallowed be thy name. The psalmist declared in Psalm 89 verse number 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. You see, the problem with the Pharisees and the scribes, they lost the reverence in their prayer life. Oh, they appear to demonstrate reverence, but they lost the reverence. When you pray to God, don't lose the reverence. Remember who you're approaching. Remember that you're approaching a holy God. Verse number 10, notice this principle. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray for God's expressed will for mankind. Express God's will to be done. And you'll notice here in verse number 10 that Jesus talks about the kingdom. The kingdom wasn't far. The kingdom was about to be established. We can still pray for the kingdom. The kingdom has come. We can pray that the borders of the kingdom would be broadened. But notice these are the things that Jesus taught His disciples. As they would pray to God, we are to pray for God's will to be done. And Jesus Christ is our perfect example in this. Think about the garden at Gethsemane in Matthew 26 verse 39. As Jesus prayed to His Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will. What was Jesus praying for? That God's will be done. When we pray, we need to pray that God's will be done. That it will be done in our life. That it will be done with the congregation here, with the kingdom abroad throughout the world. We want to pray that God's will be done. And listen to this point. And we shouldn't be afraid to ask God to defeat us if we're doing something contrary to His will. Listen, if I'm doing something contrary to God's will, I want God to bring it to naught. I want God to defeat me in this. Because I learned in Philippians 2 verse 13, for it is God who both worketh to do His will and to do His good pleasure in our life. It's God that is working in our life, and we should welcome that. And we should welcome that in our prayer life when we pray to God, Father, Thy will be done in my life, in the life of the brethren. And Father, if I'm doing something contrary to Your will, I pray that You will defeat me in that. Jesus continues on, looking at this section here in verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray to God, we are to pray that our needs be met. But you notice Jesus says something up there in verse number 8, for your Father knoweth what things that you need. Well, if the Father knows that we need these things, why is Jesus teaching us to pray for those things that we need? We learn something very valuable about prayer right here as Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. Prayer is for God's people. Prayer is not for God. He knows what we need. But sometimes we forget that. We are prone to forget and we become self-dependent in our lives and we think we're the ones that are providing for our needs. No, we're not providing for our needs. God is providing for our needs. And God never wants us to lose sight of that. He is the one that is taking care of us. And we're encouraged to be spiritual and to seek the kingdom first. Matthew 6 verse 33. And Jesus makes a promise. The necessities of this life, they will be provided. But never forget where those things come from. How can we keep from forgetting? By praying to God. by going to Him in prayer, by remembering what Jesus taught here in verse number 11. Father, thank You for the daily bread that You give us. We know that it comes from You. Look at verse number 12. We should pray for cleansing. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a two-way street, by the way. If we want God to forgive us, we need to be willing to forgive others. But when we pray, we access God's second law of pardon, according to 1 John 1:7 through 10. This is how, as Christians, we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes our sins away. A perfect example of this is seen in Simon's life in Acts chapter 8, after he obeyed the gospel. You remember, he wanted to buy that power, that miraculous power. And Peter tells Simon, Your money perisheth. Your money perisheth. Your heart is not right with God. Repent of this thy wickedness. And you remember what Simon says, Peter, pray for me. Pray for me. Peter, as he prayed for Simon, he was accessing God's second law of pardon. You and I need cleansing. You and I are not perfect. We need God's forgiveness. And this is how we ask God to forgive us, when we pray to Him. And then finally, at the verse number 13, we are to pray for protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. We need to pray to the One that has more power than our enemy. That's the emphasis. Pray to the Father who has more power than the enemy. The One that can deliver us from evil. You see, God has provided a beautiful plan of salvation that will deliver us from Satan's domain, from the domain of darkness, and God will translate us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. And as children of light, as we walk as children of light, we have that protection. And that protection comes through prayer. This is why it's so important to have a good prayer life. In Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16, because of Jesus Christ, our High Priest, because of Jesus Christ, our Mediator, we have access to the throne of God. The writer is talking about prayer. We have access to the throne of God where we have grace and mercy to help us in time of need. You see, if you need the Father's help, if you need His grace, if you need His mercy, He wants you to know that it's available. You can access that grace. You can access that mercy when you come to My divine throne room. When you come before Me in prayer, God wants us to know what we'll find. That is, if we come with the right heart, with the right attitude. You also will find protection in prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall protect your hearts." Again, it's the peace that passeth all understanding that protects the heart. But how do I know that I have peace? How do I know that peace is protecting me? By having a prayer life. By depending upon God. By not worrying about every little thing that is going on in your life, but bringing it before God, leaning upon God, trusting in God, laying all of your cares and concerns at the Father's feet. And when we do that, Paul says, we will have peace, a peace that passeth all understanding. And it's that peace, Paul says, that protects us. Lead us not in to temptation, but to deliver us. Jesus wants us to have a good prayer life. He's teaching us how to have a good prayer life. Don't pray like the Pharisees and the scribes. They're praying for the wrong reason. They're praying to be seen of men. This is how you pray. Remember who you're approaching. Remember God's name is above all names. Remember when you pray to God, you're praying for His express will to be done in your life. Pray for the daily needs that God grants us. Pray for God's forgiveness. Pray that you will be that forgiving person that God wants you to be. And as you pray, as you go to your closet, as you pray in secret to God, pray that God will deliver you from the evil one. Prayer is a blessing. It's a spiritual privilege that we have in Jesus Christ. I am thankful for the power of prayer. And as I said at the beginning, I might not be able to fully comprehend how prayer functions within the plan of God's sovereignty, but I know that it does, because that's what God's Word teaches. And so when I pray to God, I must pray in faith, in belief, trusting that God hears me, trusting that God will answer my prayers, knowing that God knows what is best for me, and that His will be done in my life. His will be done in your life. Don't neglect the spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus Christ. Appreciate it. Thank God for this avenue of prayer, to be able to communicate to God as He communicates to us through His Word. The lesson is yours. This morning it may be that you've never obeyed the gospel. This morning is an opportunity for you to be delivered from darkness and to be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. God sent His Son to die on the cross so that you could have that freedom, so that you can have that deliverance, so that you can have that access to the throne of God. If you never obeyed the gospel, this morning is an opportunity for you to put the Lord on in baptism, to have your sins washed away so He can add you to the Lord's church, as we see in Acts 2, 38 through 47. It may be that you are a child of God. Maybe there are cares, maybe there are concerns, needs that you want to bring before the Father this morning. This morning is an opportunity for us to pray with you, to pray for you. Maybe there's something in your life that's amiss that you need to ask God to forgive you. Again, this morning we all have that opportunity to examine ourselves and to bring those things before the Father's throne. This morning, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.